wanted to make a quick round of introduction. As we, actually, what I need to do first, I think my secretary will be angry if I do that. I don't do that. She said, I need to apologize to a good self, because whilst we were having lunch, she thought that there's some alien species who are trying to take away our food. She said, this is only meant for public works, portfolio committee, to our guests. So I need to apologize. She thought that you were from another meeting this side. So she thought that you were taking the wrong So I really apologize. It was quite very uneasy about that. Yes. You're also welcome to the meeting. We just had a presentation from IDT. So I wish we could all sit in one meeting and listen to one another. I think that the next hearings will have to have everybody in here, so that when others are making commitments of having relationships with your good self, you say, no, we never had met before. We don't have projects together. So it might be a fascinating meeting. Yeah, but let's quickly take a round of the introduction, starting from my left. Well, we've got very limited microphones, so now I'd like to borrow one another.
Madam Chair, my name is Kenon Noyana, board member of AGRIMA. Today I'm standing in.
Well, I don't know what is the memorandum all about, honorable member.
Today.
We didn't hear him.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Kenon Noyana, a board member at AGRIMA. Today, I'm also standing in for the chairperson of AGRIMA, who couldn't be with us, with the commitment that he has at Fort Hare University. As the chairperson of the council, they are inaugurating the vice chancellor. So he apologized, he couldn't be there, but I'll be standing in.
My name is Joe Odhiambo. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of AGRIMA South Africa.
Good day, members of the committee. My name is Nosbusiso Shabalala, member of AGRIMA Board.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Marler. I'm also a board member of AGRIMA.
Good afternoon. My name is Montwedi Siani. I'm a board member of AGRIMA.
Sydney Opperman from this committee.
Sakit Lansai, member of this committee.
Doris Matu, member of this committee.
Doris Mumwai, member of this committee.
Mr. Makubane, member of this committee. Mr. Charlie Wang from this committee.
Yeah, Charlie, you think you're not even wearing your jacket today, you see? I don't know what is the problem, but nevertheless.
Hey, Kamalam, no man kayam daga. Ilum nere komi. My name is Masudenda Dala, I'm staff member of Agu.
Good afternoon, my name is Lauren.
What is it?
My name is Lawrence Patena from CIR. I'm also the senior assignment for AGRIMA.
Yeah, my name is Nicola Montana.
My name is Edwin Kruger. I'm a board member of AGRIMA.
Public Works. Amanda Fafajela, Public Works. Kenny McKillar,
ANC. Komoto Choma, AGRIMA board member.
Well, who doesn't know you? The host of AGRIMA board member. I'm going
to committee secretary.
My name is Tan Tobias, I'm the chairperson of the committee.
I was saying everybody knows her because people should remember in the program she participated in. So she's a very popular face in South Africa. Okay, you are welcome from it. Without any further ado, I assure all the board members who come here that this is a very, very nice committee to be. So you don't have to spend all your money and come here. We just need people who can respond to our questions. I hope the SABC board issued a pardon. Indeed, I did receive the apology from the chairperson about the graduation at the university, of Forte University. So the apology is accepted. They were trying to request that we change the date, but because it was such a tight program, we could not have one meeting even on the lunch hour. That's how tight the portfolio program is. So thank you very much for hitting our call and coming. Without any waste of time, let's go through the presentation. I hope all of our members can see. Okay? I will send your pigeonhole. So I don't know who's going to say.
Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, board members present, ladies and gentlemen. I present to you the following, which is presented on the slides ahead, on behalf of the Board of Agrima South Africa. Due to the time pressures, I will try and speed through the presentation. The presentation has a lot of slides which are of detail. The presentation has a lot of background, of which a lot will be looking at the Vision 2015, which I one of the last slides I had, as to where we hope to push Agrima in the future. This particular presentation, or the business plan, was presented to the Department of Public Works middle of last year and was approved. And the minister, when she inaugurated the board and on the 19th of February, she said, clear guidelines to the new board of what you hope your new board is going to achieve for Agrima South Africa. Amongst them, the key item is the institutional arrangements regarding Agrima and the possibility of creating enabling legislation for it to be a public entity. Now, we currently operate under a delegation of authority from the Minister of Public Works, which was last updated a while back, and we operate in the environment of trying to do technical assessments of innovative materials for construction. If you look at the work we do and how we relate to the CSIR and the South African Bureau of Standards, this slide that was used in the previous presentation, but I've included it again today so that I can clarify the relationship between Agrima, the CSIR, and the South African Bureau of Standards, because there's normally a lot of confusion. Due to our ministerial power of delegation, we are at the CSIR campus physically, and we are managed by the CSIR. Agrima is not a legal entity currently. We operate under power delegation, and we are part and parcel of the CSIR. As such, we use the CSIR system in terms of project management, financial management, human resources, etc. I'll explain more in detail. But in terms of the work we do, we get the output from research and development, which CSIR is a public primary focus. And we test them in terms of seeing whether they are fit for purpose or not. So once a product has been developed and performance criteria has been developed, then we come in the testing phase. And once the product is successful and has been successfully passed, then it moves from Agrima, which is a green phase in the middle, to the red phase on the right-hand side, which is the region where South African Bureau of Standards operates, whereby it is a standard product and there are specifications to say what the product is. People are normally familiar with the SFDS mark, and us, we issue what we call an Agrima certificate. So that's the key differences between the three. But you work closely both to the research focus, which is the brownish area. We work in the green area, and we help develop standards for the red area. So we work across the three. So that slide is very important and explains the relationship between the three. They're quite clear and quite distinct responsibilities. The one reason why SFDS is well known and Agrima is not is because we work with unknown materials. We work with new materials, which people are yet not aware. They're being discovered. So once already discovered, then we pass it on to South African Bureau of Standards, and that's why South African Bureau of Standards is well known. And we work closely with them, and in fact, one of our board members is a member is from the South African Bureau of Standards. Now, in terms of the work we do, since we look at innovative materials of which there are no test methods developed, we use expert judgment to test this material. In other words, we use experts to look at the material and develop test methods appropriate for the material. That's a great distinct difference between our work and the work that the South African Bureau of Standards does in terms of testing. South African Bureau of Standards uses known design rules and construction rules, and they test according to agreed test methods, which are international test methods. And they do this by the application of well-established engineering principles. While Agrima, since we work with new and innovative materials, we at times have to develop our own test methods. So we go one step ahead, and therefore we work in a slightly different arena from the standardized testing area. And now this gives us to the organizational structure of Agrima. As you know, we in the CSR, the technical agency sits as part of the CSR. We report to a board of whom 8 members are present around the table today. One of them will still be joining us later. And we do have a technical committee. I'll explain more about the technical committee later. The technical committee is made up of both technical experts, which is at the bottom of this particular slide, and board members and members from the technical agency. The functions of the technical committee is to approve certificates. Now, this makes it possible for approvals to be done by a third party, which is not influenced by the agency. At the voting sessions of the technical committee, the staff members of the agency who participated in testing the product do not vote. It is the board members and the experts who vote and agree whether the product is fit for purpose or not. This enables the process to be transparent and above board. And this is the international way that it is done. Now, this brings me to the vision and mission of the agency. Our vision is to be a world-class technical agency. South Africa is a world-class country, and therefore we must be a world-class agency in the area of technical assessment. And our mission is to promote the government's objectives of economic development, good governance, very important, and raising the living standards and prosperity by undertaking technical assessment and certification of non-standard construction products in South Africa. The question was asked previously as to whether we work outside South Africa. Our work is entirely within the borders of the Republic of South Africa. The way we promote the other African countries is that South African companies who have their products tested by Agrima South Africa can use the strength of the Agrima certificate to show fitness for purpose and therefore enable them to work in other countries. And that way, we help South African countries export their technology and their people to other countries within the African continent. When you look at what we've achieved in our 39 years of existence, we have issued 449 certificates, of which about a third, 148, are currently valid. Last time I listed the products which have come through, which are now used as standard products, and I just touched on one or two of them, the first two. One is the hollow concrete block. This was a new innovation about 20 years ago, which came into South Africa, and this particular product is now used widespreadly as a conventional product. Similarly, pressed metal tile roofs came through the AGMA route. Tested the first Havitals, and now there are several other manufacturers who manufacture this particular kind of roof tile as a standard product. So in brief, this is just some of the ways in which we ensure that innovation of South Africa develops new and better ways of building buildings or construction in general. To focus internally in terms of the agency, in terms of what we have achieved internally, human resource development within the technical agency is very exemplary. We have managed to transform the agency, and we have also managed to offer a lot of training to 93% of the staff who have been involved in one kind of training or another, in a total of 99.7 training days, which is quite a lot, which is way above the industry average, which is good because South Africa is short of technical skills and we are helping to build this. And the last point on that particular slide, it talks about 63% of the staff members are involved in one kind of another or another of formal tertiary higher degrees, ranging from bachelor's degrees to doctorate degrees in engineering science. I think this is a great achievement, especially in the face of the skills shortage in the country. And the last slide talked about the impact and achievement, quite similar to the past, because we believe in continuous improvement. That's the last board member I informed you with joining us at the table. She can join us and sit in the front seat. She thought the meeting was beginning at 2, so I brought her to tell her to come in. Okay, the third slide talked about achievements which were quite similar to the past because we continued to achieve these, and I think they're great to point them out. The first one is increased awareness and visibility. We are now more aware, more visible than we were in the past. Transformation I mentioned. We are well recognized internationally, as I will explain later in the presentation. And our technical outputs in terms of number of certificates continue to increase. And generally, increased acceptance of innovative building systems. I think these are great achievements if you should look at them. And if you look at the innovative products that we've come up with in the last year, they're listed there. I'll just touch on one or two of them, because when I come in September, I will explain each one of them in detail when we do the annual report to the portfolio committee. The first one there is Automa expanded polystyrene block building system, which is a polystyrene-based construction system. It offers a lot of benefits, especially right now in South Africa, where we are facing an energy crisis, and that this particular building system performs superior, better than conventional building materials in terms of the fact that during winter, when you're inside a building, you do not need to heat it up. It stays warm, and the exact opposite happens in summer. You don't need to cool it down because it stays reasonably comfortable. So it's an innovative system, and hopefully, as I mentioned earlier, it is my belief that in my 2050 vision that innovative, improved and better ways of construction will become the standard way of construction. The second product there is fiber coat, fiber reinforced plaster. This is a plaster, a conventional plaster, but reinforced with fiber. Now the fiber provides it with additional strength, prevents shrinkage and cracks, and therefore it performs better. You're able to use a thinner layer of plaster and perform the same function in terms of strength. So these are better ways of building. We've got Marulelo roofing under tile membrane. It's also an innovative under tile membrane which performs better than conventional. Micro concrete cladding building system. It is a thin concrete building using timber cladding and and it's an innovative system which can be used to address the housing shortage within South Africa. And the last one before the bottom there, NovaChip thin bituminous surfacing system, is a thin road surfacing system. It's a bituminous, the normal asphalt, bituminous road surfacing, but it can be laid in thinner layers than conventional. In other words, you can therefore do more roads with the same amount of money, and therefore address the infrastructure challenges that South Africa currently has. So these are some of the impacts that we're having. The last one there, the portable container branch outlet, it's a new building system. These are the same people who manufacture the containers or the buildings for the, what do you call them, the auto machines, the ATMs, the bank machines. So it's a new way of building. It's a strong building. It's very robust and can be used for putting up buildings in remote areas. Like if you want to put up a post office in a very remote area, it just comes ready-made and you can just install it. And therefore, it also has a benefit in case of disasters, whereby you can stock some of these, and should there be a disaster, then you can easily move them to the disaster area and house the people in them. So these are some of the building systems that we certificated. On the next slide, you have a couple of others, and as I said previously, I will explain them in detail when I do come in September. Now, all AGRIMA certificates, now the ones that I've mentioned, are recognized by all WAFTAO members. Now, as I mentioned earlier as well, this assists South African companies to export their products globally. Why? Because of the AGRIMA relationship within the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations. The slide on the screen indicates the countries within which where they have members of the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations, normally called WAFTAO. And you'll see, as I mentioned previously, there's a great concentration in Europe. Yours truly, AGRIMA South Africa, is the only one in Africa, a couple in the Australasia and the Japanese, South America, one company in Brazil, and the presence in both in South America and North America. You'll notice that it is concentrated in highly developed countries, which puts us among the elite. And WAFTAO have actually honored us by holding the annual meeting for 2008-2009, which will be held in South Africa in September, between 21st and 30th September. The world meeting, the annual meeting of WAFTAO, will be conducted here in South Africa. And the next slide shows the flags of the countries who are members of WAFTAO. I'll turn next to what are the challenges and what are the opportunities these challenges offer, because for every challenge, it equally opens the door for an opportunity to address that particular challenge. We're all aware of the skills and managerial shortages in terms of technical skills, especially technical assessment skill, which is an extremely rare skill, as well as project management skill. There's a great, 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 great shortage within the country. This has resulted in key staff members being poached by other institutions. But what opportunities does this lead us to? It opens up the possible opportunity for people to be trained. And we have, as I mentioned previously, we have done a great amount of work in offering training to our people in-house. The second challenge, as I mentioned there, is the expert knowledge and recognized experts by the peers in the technical assessment field. You're seeing an aging population. Most of the experts we use have, they're quite advanced. They're not so young anymore. And what opportunity does this offer? It offers an opportunity also for skills development, developing people to become experts. And that's where we'll be training people at a higher caliber level. And as I mentioned previously, be offering people training right up to doctorate level. And then the third challenge is in the interpretation, which is quite related to the technical expert skill. Because there's one person who does the testing, there's another person who does the interpretation of the test results. And the challenge there is to see whether the products are fit to meet the AGRIMA performance criteria or not. For one to be able to do that, one needs to be able to have a total understanding of the AGRIMA principles or test methods, the criteria, to be able to assess whether a product meets the standards or not. And there we are seeing a major challenge, and as I said previously, the opportunity is to train the people. The last challenge on this particular slide is on technical infrastructure, which is accredited labs to carry out the actual testing on products and building systems and to produce test reports on performance. We are seeing a dwindling or a lot of labs closing. Now, what opportunity does this offer to AGRIMA? It offers us opportunity to develop our own technical testing skill or facility or capability. I think those are great opportunities. And as I mentioned previously, on the next slide, the legislative framework, which the minister directly delegated to the chairperson of the board and enacting in conjunction with the wishes of the board to address the issue of the legislative framework for AGRIMA South Africa to make sure that it is properly instituted and that will enable that the board to function properly and create all the necessary board committees. Now that particular task of the legislative framework is currently being handled by the Department of Public Works, by the director in charge of policy, Lydia Biki, and she's working in conjunction with the state legal department to address that particular issue regarding the legislative framework. Obviously, before any changes are made, there'll be extensive consultation, including with the portfolio committee and the general public. And we look forward to the outcome of this so that AGRIMA can be properly constituted and be able to better manage its mandate. The other challenge, which also relates to what the minister stated, was the backward integration or reverse integration, which is a tapping back into research and development. Currently, within the technical agency of AGRIMA South Africa, we do not have any research capability within the agency. The minister directed the board to go out and find out what new products are there out there in the market, and therefore develop a competence in research and development. The next challenge, the next bullet there, talks about forward integration, which I break down into two. One is awareness and visibility. Currently, the agency, due to constraints, does not have a marketing branch per se. But we need to be able to be visible and to be seen. And we will be trying to do a lot of work in this particular area to ensure that we are aware, that people are aware of what we do. It's one thing to produce very good certificates, but if people are not aware of them, then people do not use them. So we will be trying to ensure that these products that we develop, people are aware of them and they become used in the general public. We will also develop close working relationships with our stakeholders by forming strategic alliances with the relevant parties. I will explain this later in the slide. The second last challenge of that particular slide is a very, very important challenge, the challenge of enforcement. Now, this particular issue of enforcement, both the South African Bureau of Standards and the country in general relies on the local authorities who are responsible for enforcing the building regulations. And this activity is done by the building control officials. We are all aware of the challenges that local authorities face nationally. And this particular lack of capacity impacts adversely on AGRIMA South Africa, because then products which can be used in which should be subject to control are used in industry. And the last one there is capacity. The next slide is national relevance. I'll just touch on the last three bullets there. The ones on the top, you can read them and understand them, which is the environment within which we operate. There's things like the National Sustainability Development Strategy, the Green Buildings Initiative, service delivery, socioeconomic benefits, and developing emerging entrepreneurs. But energy efficiency performance is a key issue nationally. And we are
focusing on trying to encourage the use of energy efficient products or housing, which will result in obviously improved energy efficiency and save the amount of energy required, therefore kind of help address the energy crisis nationally. And in terms of sustainable development, obviously we'll look at products which are sustainable in terms of their total life cycle, in terms of from cradle to grave. And part of the initiative going forward, as I mentioned previously, when the minister came on the 19th of February, she specifically tasked Agrima to go out and import relevant cutting-edge suitable technology. And she mentioned Vietnam as a particular country where, when she visited the country with the president in the past, they saw a lot of new building systems which they said could be used in South Africa. And working with the new board, we will be doing a lot of this. We will be getting those technologies, and we will make sure that the South African country does benefit from these new ways of building which are there out in the other countries. Rural communities tend to be marginalized in a lot of ways. We will be looking at the relevance to make sure that we are relevant to all stakeholders, including rural communities. A lot of our products can impact on service delivery. I mentioned previously of the Nova chip as one particular example of a road product which can be used to do twice as much work because you have the thickness of road finishes. So that way, you improve service delivery because you can do twice as much road with half the material, with the same amount of material. Education and awareness about available products, especially for industry and rural development, I've talked about that. And then assistance to SMMEs, very key point. We need to develop the small, medium, and micro enterprises. And also we need to comply with good governance, the King II guidelines in terms of board workings and structure, as I said previously. And that will therefore follow on once the legislation is in place that allows us to create this structure. And we will be coming up with a clear plan going forward to enable us to address these challenges and these opportunities. Now, this plan is currently being developed and will definitely be submitted to the Department of Agriculture as well as the Portfolio Committee in due course. And therefore, this definitely leads me towards the financial figures. And I'll quickly go through the financial figures. In terms of last financial year, 2007-2008, our total figure, as you can see on that particular slide, was 7.6 million. It's not a lot of money. Of which 56%, 4.3 million, made up of human capture costs or manpower. And 27% was made up of technical assessment, operational costs, of which include quality monitoring, a bit of marketing, as I may say, we don't have a marketing budget per se, and research into technical criteria. And the bottom there, the 17%, is goes to the CSR, and I'll explain this in detail, I'll break it down later, which covers the group executive levy and the support and administration. Now, the breakdown of the operational expenses for 2007-2008 shown on the next slide. And you can see that most of the figures are very low. S&T at 78, printing only at 21, advertising at about 2.5, communications at partly 12,000. We've got a depreciation amount of 116, and board and technical committee costs of a total of 34. This is partly because the board is appointed in November. And then assessments taking up close to half a million, as well as agency expenses and quality monitoring. Now, going forward, the current financial year, 2008-2009, of which you have the business plan, we focus a total budget of 9 million, 8.9 to be exact, split up as follows in percentage terms. Manpower, 45%, down from 56%. This is due to right sizing or just trying to do what you can within the number of the finances you have. Therefore, we look at the number of people we do have within the agency. Therefore, the fewer people have to do more within the same amount of time. In terms of technical assessment and operational, there's a slight increase of from 27% to 33%. And the CSR costs are broken down as rental 4%, depreciation 5%, and finance and administration at 13%. Now, this gives a total budget of 8.9 million. In the following year, which is the plan that I talked about, the stepping up, you see the 2009-2010, the budget jumps to 25.9 million because we need to step up and do what is expected of us by the department, by the ministry. This budget will be supported, obviously, by all the relevant documents. The budget documents will be a strategic plan to it, an operational plan, and a risk management plan, a flood control, and all the necessary controls of good governance to support this particular budget. And it will be submitted in due course. But I'd just like to point out the percentages differences, where we consolidate and keep the percentages more or less the same as this current financial year, but just do more by trying to achieve more. As I say, we're trying to get technology from outside and implement it here. And in the subsequent year, 2010-2011, there's just an adjustment for inflation, as well as 2011-2012. Now, this brings me to the next slide, which are the financial approval process within the CSRR, or within where Agrima sits, and the fraud control mechanism. The technical agency, where we do sit as Agrima, is managed and reports to the director of the built environment unit. In other words, we report to the CSRR. And this is one of the institutional arrangements which the minister has a major challenge with, the ministry has a problem with, and it creates confusion because it creates multiple reporting lines where you report both to the CSR and the department and the portfolio committee. We also do have a board which holds at least 4 meetings in a year. So far the board has met 4 times this year, if I'm not wrong. And since Agrima South Africa, finances are managed by the CSR. Agrima as an entity is not a legal entity, so it does not even have a bank account. So our finances are managed by the CSR. Therefore, our figures, financial figures, are audited as part and parcel of the CSR finances. We took note of the request from the portfolio committee and have requested the Auditor General to conduct an audit, a separate audit, on Agrima South Africa. There are a few questions regarding whether the Auditor General can do that, and we will report the feedback from the Auditor General or the audited financial report when you do come back to present the financial report in September. I must state that the agency, as part of the CSR, has received a clean bill of health from the previous year's audit report and has done so for a number of the past years. We do comply very strictly with the PFMA and Treasury regulations. And to do this, we submit quarterly reports to the Department of Public Works. We also have regular interactions with the Department of Public Works National Infrastructure Forum, which meets quarterly as well, and regular interactions with the HSD, which meets bi-monthly. The Department of Public Works heads of departments meet. And as a member of the built environment, the CSR built environment management team, we do participate in weekly meetings, which are management meetings, where you have joint management of the entire unit. And the board of Agrima South Africa has an annual strategic planning session, of which the one for this year was conducted on the 1st of April, 2008, at the CSR in Pretoria. And we have a very, very, very strict adherence to financial management. And our financial statements are subjected both to an independent internal audit as well as an external audit, which is both are autonomous. Now, to explain how we relate to the CSR in terms of shared services, the shared services model provides us with the financial services, of whom the finance manager is from the CSR, as well as the human resources manager, also from the CSR. The CSR has excellent library, which we do benefit from, as well as links to other external libraries, both nationally and internationally. We make use of the CSR communication department. I mentioned the audit department, the legal department, as well as the management services. Now, the management services include things like ICT, information communication services. We also have the International Convention Center, where we did have our annual strategic planning session, and we have access to use those facilities. The management services also provide facilities management, which is part and parcel of facilities management. Risk and compliance unit of the CSR is also part of management services. We do have excellent security on site, and we do have a strategic procurement unit and unit-based performance management services. Now, one may ask them, what is the value added by these management services? One, it ensures that there's legal compliance with the PFMA and other statutory legal requirements. We have excellent security for staff and our assets. It maintains, the maintenance is excellent or exemplary, and there is very cost-effective service delivery. We strongly believe that should Agrimah be on its own, the cost will be much higher. And we operate within a very highly regulated environment. As I mentioned, we are subject to oversight by both the board, the executive, the management, as well as shared services. And all these are regulated, obviously, by the Acts of Parliament, which include the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, the Labor Relations Act, the Employment EEA Act, Employment Equity Act, et cetera, as well as well-documented policies and procedures, which are well-documented and strictly adhered to. Now, what are the key initiatives of management services going forward? I'll just touch on one or two. The first one that is very important is the lab facilities, which we hope to use some of the CAPEX to develop upgrade lab facilities to come up with modern and new labs. The other points I talk about access to disabled staff, improvement in ICT, and creating a healthy and working environment. Okay, going forward, we are implementing an agency efficiency program within the CSR, and we're aiming also to improve the efficiency in sourcing and tendering process. In other words, trying to get more value for money by negotiating better contracts with big suppliers, or where we have big buying power. We have the big buying power, therefore we can negotiate better prices of the CSR. And we will also be reviewing major procurement contracts in ICT and research support, traveling, etc., all trying to unlock value or to do more with less. And our insurance costs, we're also looking at trying to optimize those particular costs. In terms of human resources, what are the key initiatives going forward? The first point I have there talks about transformation, whereby we've been targeting disabled staff. We're looking at increasing the number of female and black staff. And currently, we do have a transformation committee within the CSR. When I say increasing the number of both female and black staff, it includes all, we include the broader term of both female and the broader term of both black. Employee well-being is a key factor, and well developed, there are 2 points there. We're going to implement a comprehensive program to improve employee well-being and to provide guidelines and training at all levels. As I mentioned, training is a key point. And then performance management, we're trying to optimize and improve the performance of individuals, etc. Going forward, other initiatives include career development and retention strategy. And other career development is trying to support human capital development in trying to address the national skills shortage. We believe that if we develop skills within the agency, we are helping the country. And if we develop skills within the country to help us do our assessment, we're also developing the country. In terms of retention, we have clear guidelines as a retention strategy. We are currently looking at improving the reward and recognition scheme and performance bonuses and looking at paying salaries specifically and correctly in accordance with qualifications. The breakdown of the human staff complement currently is as shown on the next slide. And breaking them down into three distinct areas, the blacks, a total 73%, the female total 27%, and we'll be working hard on that percentages, and the white total 27%, making a total of 100%. As I mentioned, we are quite well transformed, but we'll be working on trying to improve the number of female employees within the agency. The current organogram is shown as such, and I'll just touch very, very briefly on it. Obviously, with the portfolio committee performs an oversight function, and we're here with the board. I sit as a CEO, and under me I do have three distinct areas, one focusing on quality, water penetration, and laboratories. You see that this particular function is three, they're too many for one particular area, and that is one of the things that going forward in the new business plan we look at optimizing or improving on that particular structure. The other area looks at engineering, where the things like the thin road surfacing system get tested. And the other area looks at architectural, where the building systems and building products get tested. And under them, you have the senior assessors and the assessors, and obviously a drawing component. Now, that's the current organogram. We will present a proposed organogram, should our business plan going forward be accepted. Key challenges in terms of HR. These are challenges which are national, and you can read them. I'll just touch on one or two. The second point there is the scarcity of black and female science and engineering and technology graduates, and it's becoming a major challenge to recruit competent, capable, skilled people. And when you do get them, the scarce skills, they come in at a premium. You have to pay a high salary. And we are seeing we're losing our key staff to other entities. We have, for us to be a world-class technical assessment agency, our salaries must be in line with the must be specifically related such that we pay the right salaries to the right people, so that we can get the right people to work for us. In order to get world class technical assessment agency, must pay the right salaries to the right people to be able to do the right work, and that will be positioned in the new budget that will be presented, as I mentioned previously. And the last point at the bottom there is positioning Agama as an employer of choice, given the competitive nature of skills, attraction, and retention. Given the fact that our work is very, very specific, it's specialized, you need a distinct skilled person to be able to do the work, and you need to be able to attract such a person because they're few and scarce and far in between. Next, I'll look at the board, and 11 board members were appointed in November 2008, of whom 8 sit around the table. They were appointed for a period of 3 years. The current chairperson, Mr. Pepe Silinga, and we had a strategic planning session, as I mentioned previously, and the board has three key points which are listed there. One is to raise standards in industry, new objectives for both quality and quantity of output, which is impact and relevance, and then make a difference in the lives of South Africans by enhancing service delivery, by testing and approving improved construction products and building systems. Now, the next slide lists the board members, of whom only three are not here. I will mention the three who are not here. The others have been introduced, have introduced themselves during the round of introduction. Therefore, I'll not mention them again.
The first one is the chairperson who is based in Port Elizabeth, Seti, Kalinga. The second person is Mohammed Tayub, Dr. Mohammed Tayub, who is based in Witbank. And Solomon Malebe, Soli Malebe, who is a DDG operation, based at the National Department of Public Works in Pretoria. Now, those are only the three board members who are not here today. The other board members are sitting around the table. Next, I'll look at the technical committee. The duties of the technical committee, as I mentioned previously, is to review and ratify evaluation programs. In other words, when we get a new product to test, the technical committee must approve the program, in other words, the test method and the test that will be carried out on the product, the program. Now, this makes sure that the process is above board. The agent which does the work does not vote at the technical committee. The technical committee is made of at least three board members and at least three experts in the field who are recognized as experts in that particular field of expertise. In other words, if it's a building product, then you have building experts. If it's a roads product, you have roads experts. And those experts are the ones who make the decision. They actually peer review our work. They check whether we've done our work correctly and efficiently. So together, the experts and the board members vote, and they have an oversight function on the technical agency. They ensure that proper procedures have been followed in all stages of the evaluation, and the technical experts on the committee are all satisfied, and that the quality management system is well addressed. The typical scope of evaluation, I touched upon it last time, but I just want to point out one point at the bottom there. The reason why I included it this time is the last point there is the compliance with the National Building Regulation. And we work closely with the South African Bureau of Standards. I will then move on and touch on my vision 2015, which is the second last slide. Core deliverables 2015. Backward integration. We will come up with new My vision 2015, we will come up with a new RSA house, the first point. We will develop the best and most advanced construction technologies from overseas and introduce them in South Africa. We will promote the agency as a brand. We will become as well known as the SABS brand. We will market our benefits. And the last slide talks about, the first three slide bullet is the only one I'll talk about. We will ensure that innovative, modern, better construction technologies will be widely used in South Africa. Agrima will be highly visible in South Africa. And substandard products will be prevented from getting to the market by proper and effective enforcement. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to present to you. I now hand over to the chairperson.
Thank you very much, but the issue that your point is sorted, as you see. Thank you. I don't know what the people are saying. Okay, honorable members, there's the presentation. But first, I would have wanted to know where is the subplan and the budget document. So here we're dealing with the presentation. Where are the
The track plan was submitted to the secretary, and it should have been distributed. The same track plan was submitted to the National Department of Public Works in July last year, and is available for comment.
Madam Chair, I want to congratulate the Agrimas Board for what we heard today. I think this is a wonderful breeze that has come into the department, to assist the department, and they, from what I've heard, they've done a great job. I want to refer back to page 17. And I'm pleased that I'm going to address modern and better buildings in South Africa, because there are some areas that I think must be addressed, and even and if they can ban certain buildings, I would like them to do so. Because we didn't have enough police stations, we've lately tended to start using...
Police stations?
Yeah. We started using containers. And wherever you go into these containers, they are a prime place in the warmest areas of South Africa. And you go in there, you find no policemen in it. And that's one reason. Because if you don't put them into a tin, being baked the whole day, then you're doing the wrong thing. And now you've got to also add either a cooling system and a heating system to that particular office that stands there, out there in the rural area.
Big my day in one day.
And this is why I'm...
That's why they make my day in one day.
So, this is why I would like to find out, can we not then also start looking at some of these buildings? Because when we came into the new dispensation of also putting up provincial offices, we ran into the same sort of that problem. Every province had to go and find some building. There were no buildings built for the provincial administration. So they had to go into areas and to find a building that would suit their budget. And now you find that we have at times put those people into buildings where you've got to improve the heating and you've got to improve the cooling of the building. So even
this is the first time I hear you admit that as an MEC of Public Works, you never build a single building, I think.
No. What I'm telling you, ma'am, is we under the new dispensation, we put up 9 provinces. And all of a sudden, with these new provinces, we had to find buildings. So within 1 year, we couldn't build new provincial offices. And what we then did, we went to find out where can we rent offices. And some of those people are still in those rented buildings, outdated buildings. And we need to have energy-efficient buildings, because once you put a police office into a container, you furnished it, the files are there, it's an office. You're not going to convince the Minister of Safety and Security to build a new office. He says, well, there is one there. And then those people are going to stay in those type of offices for a long time. And that's why I'm worried. And please, the Agreement Board has realized that we've got to have energy-efficient buildings in South Africa. And where best to start than within our own administration. And improve the working environment of our own staff. And you can go to schools. There are some of our schools, especially our primary schools, have got these containers. Man, if you go into those classrooms, you want to get out of the classroom. And this is what we need to address. And I'm very pleased that the Agreement Board have realized. But I would want to say to them, as a member of parliament, I will strengthen your hand if you ban the containers to be on.
What are you saying
now? And we need to very urgently start building energy efficient buildings, because we have to solve the energy problem, and we've got to have decent classrooms, decent police officers, etc. So we need to address it, and I'm sure my colleagues will assist to say, find a way now of putting us under pressure to say to government, we will allow you to have these kind of container buildings for 5 years, but no longer than that. Then I think we have also achieved something. Thank you.
Well, I just want to comment.
All right, thank you, Chair Sessions. A person will also appreciate this presentation which is made to us today. But what I'm just, because of the limitation of time, I'll just go straight to the issue of the financial aid. In particular, when you go to page 19 and page 21. And then on page 19, you find that there's manpower or human capital cost, also on page 21. you find that on page 21, you find that there's a reduction of 25%. But when you go down at the bottom, you find that you have, under CSIR infrastructure cost, you have group executive lazy, 540,000. On the other side, you have rental and depreciation, given those percentages accordingly. Why report in a different way or project it to the future in a different way? Because when you go a little bit down there, under finance, HR and administration, it goes to 13%, 1.2 million for the current financial year. In the previous year, it was support and administration. So, it was support and administration. It was 779,000, 10%. Now it has gone up 13%. Is HR not part of human capital cost? Because if you, what's the difference between that? Because when you say capital cost, you're speaking in terms of retention and all those things are affecting the best. That will be capital cost. But at the bottom, you still put HR, and then the figure goes up. A person might say that you just recycle the figure, and then so that they can look good. Can I get an explanation for that? Thank you. No, let them answer. And then in the 2007,
Chair, on page 45 is reference to the housing provision challenge. Page 45, the housing provision challenge, and the using of innovative construction systems. I just want to check with him if they have heard of the concept of growing your own home. Growing your own home and using hemp as material for bricks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's my question is page 21. This is the budget of 2008 and 2009, up to the next 3 years. So I think it's for this presentation from the 8.9, the 9 million jump to the 25 million, just for the next financial year. I want to know, because this figure not clear, indicates why it's from the 2008 and 2009 jump to the 25 million. Then my second question is for the, I think the agreement will be holder for WFTAO for the annual general meeting. Will be holder in, I think, this year, September, the 21st to the 24th to the 30th, end of September. I want to know this funding, where it comes from, and how many will be participate for this annual meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions are on page 18, bullet 2. Relevant, especially to the rural communities. I want to ask the Agro South Africa to be really visible in the rural areas, because rural people are very poor, and even though some of them are educated, they lack information that will help the other people so that they advance with the knowledge. And also on the same page, on bullet 5, assistance to the CEO of the SMEE. In that part, well, I haven't seen them. I haven't heard. I'm from the rural areas. I haven't heard people talking about agrimo in those areas. That is why I say that they are not yet visible in these areas. They must do so that people can get assistance
from the from the Agri.
Let me check. I'm not going to call my friend in terms of the lead presentation because in the past they really will not be interacting with Agrimah. And we're beginning to know the past 1 or 2 years that at least there's this entity that is doing the good work in terms of improving the standards in South Africa. We really just hope that we are going to be able to hear their, or to see their impact. We no more have disaster like in Dhaka Bridge in the past, given that they were very closely with, for instance, the IGB, as well as other entities that are reporting directly to the minister. So we welcome that closeness kind of cooperation. It's really going to assist us. But the area that I'm very much interested in, I think in case statistics about the scarcity of black and female candidates. They have spoken about the bursary. Now, I just wanted to check, for instance, when I also look at the slide 84, you see that slide 34, you've got more male than black female. Yet, in terms of the proportion female in the country occupying at this center stage in terms of focus to the development, skills development, as opposed to focus the center stage in your entity. Now, what is your strategy to have a turnaround on this challenge so that you don't end up having this continuous reflection of men, black men reflecting as the majority? Yet you've got this challenge out there of the men who are also trying to get up to the ladder in terms of skill development. Thank you. My colleagues look at me, just reminding me of the previous debate around the women.
I'm going to ask you to repeat your point because I distracted the CEO and the board member.
No, my question here is that what is their strategy to turn around this reflection of men who are more in the majority?
Men.
Yes. Black male. Slide 34.
Is an internship. Yes. It's a pool. And it's played by 4 members. Honorable Kadek, Honorable Oberman, Honorable Blanche, and Honorable Maki. There is an agenda, a very clear agenda, but today you're going to pursue the interests of men.
No, it's possible.
Well, it's fine. I know that Honorable Doris Maguma is speaking on behalf of women.
Let him give him a chance. Are you finished?
No, I thought that question was done. Because
I'm not going to the question to be very short. We're losing time.
Yes. The slide is showing that it is, of course, black male. That is highlighted in black. Am I right? That's right. Now, my question is that for women, they've got this other grade. Now, my question is that in South Africa, they've got female
widely maturing, and therefore, what are they doing in terms of, like you say, upbringing the skills in terms of their skills development strategy within the establishment? Yep.
Honorable, thank you, Chairperson. Mine is short and sweet. On page 32, under key initiatives, you made mention of other transformations. You are targeting black disabled staff and increasing in black, in female and black staff. So far, how many do you have, according to your organogram? And you said on page 18, the impact on service delivery. You said you are targeting the rural areas, the rural communities. How do you do that, and what is your impact on that? And really, as part of our oversight visit, we would like to see this. We talk about things we really don't know. I mean, we see it on paper. We've never seen those briefs and other things. And okay, thank you.
Any other last question?
Yes.
Before the questions are responded to, we don't have the documents that are presented today. We don't have the budget, and we don't have the statement. And I just said, Akora must call others to explain to us where are the documents. It's not clear about me. The figures that you see, that we're speaking to, we don't know what informed the change. We couldn't study. I'm talking about the new MTS budget cycle that was established to 2011. We don't have that document. I read it with the CEO. We need to have clarity. I don't know, because they send it to the department. The department did not send it to us. So it's very cosmetic, our approach in relation to the document, because I did not study the final details of the document. But nevertheless, let me just interact with you. I would like this relationship with CSIR to be clearly defined. Either we will have to have a meeting where we discuss this issue so that we understand how do we move forward. But my second issue has already been addressed by Honorable Blanche. I think you must be happy today we agree. The issues of energy efficiency is one of the issues that we need to look into. Well, I saw today that NESCOM has made an exhibition of the solar system. I don't know whether you saw it. It's a new version of it.
Mm.
It's in there. When you pass down, just have a look. It's displayed at the corridor. It's one thing maybe they will look at a new way. But they don't do it. You see, they look at what other people have created. But I think that the proactivity will be making suggestions even to the people who are bringing the items that you need to approve or look at. But my take is also on prototyping. I know the University of the Free State do a lot of prototyping, and I always follow their presentations of prototyping, and most young people should be having new, I mean,
should be doing something in your company, something innovative, high tech, different from the conventional way, whether it's in the building environment or any other environment. Because I presuppose you don't only check the quality of information to the building environment, but to technology, to look at skills, or any innovation that seeks to introduce a new niche, especially in the building environment. But I want to know whether we have any intention to specifically go and invest in training of the good producers. Because yes, it's fine to get something that is ready. Because the reason why I'm asking this is that you will find that companies that are already advanced are not coming suddenly from the disciplinary system, but they have got access to resources to bring things that you have to do. You might want to deliberately encourage, because you will find very few students having interest in the building now. Whether from an ever racial group, they are very, very few. How then do we encourage them to be the best? But the issue of your technical committee, I'm interested to know your experts, because that's where the gym lies. These experts who look at products and approve them are people who they themselves are not consumers and they're not going to help them in any way. I'm saying if these experts themselves are people who age-wise haven't rejuvenate, haven't had access to new modern technologies themselves. Because I'm trying to figure it out. Is it not a team of experts of your 75-year-old who have been in the industry for quite a long time? There's no new ideas at all. There's no innovation. Equally, they can reject any new idea because they have themselves expectations. They come to a point where they cannot produce new ideas. That's my belief. You can't send Sahih to go and look at the inventions of young people who totally disagree with that. That I can assure you. I'm saying this because, you know, when I used to chair the portfolio committee on defense, we realized that the majority of students failed the aptitude test. Those who wanted to be pilots. And I said, can I look at those psychologists? I want to see the team. And voila, they were all white and old. They never had a clue how it's like to stay in the shack. So the psychic of a person who slept in the kitchen floor never known to them. That you just missed your first taxi and probably took the bus, or you either didn't have enough bus fare, so you can't already raise it like a headless chicken. At the time you sit in the interview, you're already scared by the team itself, because it doesn't represent you. Now, let me tell you one thing. When you enter here, I said, wow, this young women, new ideas in the board. And I can assure you, when they discuss in this board, they should be going this way all the time. Because of the different ideas that the old listen to and hear, and the impatience, the key that you need to develop, to listen to. Now, I'm saying I'm very interested in this team of experts to look at how it's composed and because these products are being returned on the basis of the fact that we still look at issues in a very old fashioned way. R&D, why invest so little of it? Why? Only actually about 27% of your total budget? I think that's what you want to do more than anything else. Well, there's a proposition that we need to do an oversight visit. As long as nothing falls on my head, whenever one will go. As long as nothing, you know, I was making an example that Ruben was hit by one of the things they administered. As long as when we go there, nothing falls on my head, then we can, yes, we'll go and visit. So let's look at these questions, given the time limitations, but I need to upfront appreciate that we did not send the document. So we relied only on this document. And given the figures I just showed you, that I'm interested in this, because it's almost Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How are we going to deal with the answers? We are a whole team here. Some of us will pick up on the various or even go on to answer a specific set of questions or specific questions. But I wanted to ask with the chairperson whether your set of questions shouldn't actually be dealt with more in writing and or, you know, outside of here. But to answer to the honourable member's questions, if please. Thanks. Over to the team. Do we have one to want to take a set of questions, and we then start to deal with them? Maybe Edwin could start to take some of the technical questions up there, and obviously we have the financial manager who should actually be talking to the finance-related questions. It doesn't preclude other people adding in on that. And also the strategy-related questions, we have Nozi and Mike and the other board members to take. But please,
before you proceed, I also need to remind you that we vote on your budget on Wednesday. So if some of these questions are going to be applied on Tuesday, we're considering the report. The comprehensive report is in relation to the department and all the entities. So maybe there should be some interaction to give feedback to this member by Tuesday. They will want to speak. They will relate all these issues and they need clarity before the process with their questions. Because if they are hanging issues, they might be without faith for that's what they do.
Well, I can, Madam Chair, I can just think about the experts. I've sat in several of the technical committees. And yes, some of them are older gentlemen, but they are younger people as well. And I was reminded of a program that I listened to on the radio, and they bring this professor, Harry Seftel, on. He's a medical thing. Harry Seftel is like, 85 years old or something like that. But he's still an expert in his field. And so, but there's a need to get the younger people up. And I believe we are getting there. Even within my own organization, we're getting there. The challenge we have as a society is for technical people. When you get someone that's technically very competent, invariably what happens is it's a challenge because they get promoted into managerial positions rather than technical positions. And so that's a challenge for us as a society, and it's a challenge for Agrima in the retention of technical staff as well. And that's why they're going to have to look at salaries. In other words, you must be able to pay a technical expert to stay a technical expert. You mustn't force him to have to take a promotion into a non-technical management field, because that's the only way he can advance his career. So that's just a general comment there. We need to encourage students, I think there's no doubt about that, and invest in the training and use of the product. I just want to explain, as far as the Agrima certification goes, the certification deals with the use of the product as well. And invariably the products come from inventors. People invent. Their primary cause is because they're either inventors or they want to make money out of it. We mustn't forget that aspect. But what we must do, and it's been said here, is make our, especially the municipalities, the building people, more aware. And that's a challenge in Joe's presentation, where he talked about the marketing. That we make the municipalities aware of the actual products that there are, and that there are innovative products out there. You mentioned this building that's very thermally efficient. We must strive towards getting our marketing strategy right, and that is part of the board's responsibility, that we can see more visibility. You raised it here in this meeting as well. I'm interested in this number three that you raised of the prototyping of the University of the Free State, or they call it the Central University of Technology. Maybe they're not visible enough either.
Because they publicized in one.
Yeah, well.
Only three in one.
Yeah.
Magazine called in the West.
Yes.
If they invent something new, I get to read about it.
The big dilemma of an inventor. An inventor and a marketer or a person that actually gets the product into the market is a very different person. And I think that's a challenge for Agrima, not only to encourage innovation, and maybe we can look at how can we help people to get their product or link them with someone that can help them to market their product. I think, yes, I would agree that's where we need to go to. And Kenan, I'm going to sign off there. Thank you.
Honorable Khadem, maybe we'll take this matter with the University of the Free State first, that one, to see whether do they link the work that they do with Agrim. Maybe we should facilitate a meeting.
I would like to take the question from Honorable Makubane in terms of the relevance in rural areas. Specifically, Agrima has had to look at them, you know, what value for money are they giving to the majority of the citizens. That's where the idea started, such that they need to look at the housing, for instance, the methods used to build rural houses. With that, there was an idea to look at a generic certificate which doesn't belong to any innovator, but have a system called the BISA block system, which also works or considers energy efficiency in a way that the other system that Joe mentioned, including, of course, fortifying foundations and making the structures of the rondavas, the old rural areas, more technically secure, such that even they can somewhat have value in the eyes of financial institutions, such that people have assets and or bondable assets. So that's the whole philosophy. But the BISA block and the certificate is out there, and I guess part of the strategy would be to spend enough for training of mostly women who happen to be most of the builders of the homes in Makaya.
Uh-huh.
So they need, they need to be trained.
Women are the builders of homes. That's not me, it's him. So.
No. Men provide the strategy.
Oh.
But quite honestly, that will happen. That will happen, obviously, as part of our strategy moving forward, because that technology has got to go in and have the municipalities, obviously, taking keen interest in quality assuring and checking that housing, this new technology in the improvement of those. Because I had a personal interest in reality, because Nkuma, Nassim Kwenbaum, their relatives come from those rondavas. So I was personally interested in terms of us finding a solution, not to mention other encouraging students or rural-based students to come up with their innovation, because they can inform, you know, the new thinking, the new technology in just playing out their environment, what Chairperson said earlier on. That is another way we will be or have to reach the rural communities, especially the youth.
I would take the issue of developing emerging entrepreneurs. I think we Agrima SA, I mean, we are there to certify new products. So clearly, if there's no innovation, there's no existence. So it's very key for us to ensure that there is innovation. And like Edwin said,
people are innovative either because they want to make money, but I think we also are very aware that we need to now start looking at emerging entrepreneurs who are not aware of our existence, and to try and come up with ways of nurturing them and igniting that interest in coming up with new products, knowing that we will further try and help them introduce them into the market. One of the ways that we will be looking at is linking with the Innovation Hub to see if there's any synergy where we can try and assist emerging entrepreneurs. So what I'm trying to say is existence of Agrima depends solely on new products, and we're going to consciously try and assist and encourage people to develop new products.
I would like to take the issue that related to the finances. I'm not really sure whether I understood the person who asked the question in terms of whether the comments which we presented are the side translation, particularly the current budget, the actual budget, the budget going forward up to 2012, or what is relating to an example of cost from the current budget to the following budget. May I ask that
he's very correct in what he said. You see, look at the figures. Leave alone the financial statement. If you look at the budget, 2008 to 2009, and 2009 to 2010, and 2010 to 2011, you've got different figures, at least between 2009 to 2011, slight difference. But here, it moves from 8 to 25. So the question is, what's the difference? What makes the numbers to shoot up? So it's, the way it's up, correct, relevant. I don't know whether that's right.
Okay, thanks. I think okay, I'm going to put more details into the right book, although I know that it goes in hand with the vision that there's a present there for 2050. So obviously, that's just for that now, but we don't have to wait.
No, but what is the question? It's based on. That's the question. The reason is fine, but now he's going to find out of the budget. What are you spending it exactly on? Because that's what they're going to vote for. They need to vote on something they know exactly. If you say it's 11 million, on what? That's the question.
So, can you
take
a second?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, the jump from 8 million to 25 million. As was reported in the Vision 2015. And the supporting document is a business plan for next year and will be submitted to Parliament at the next session.
That's what is the problem. It's the Vision 2015 document that we don't have. Now, how do we approve this budget if we don't know what is intended in 2015? See where the problem is? When I was talking about the structure and budget. Because if we don't get those documents by Tuesday, and we look at them on our own, and probably ask you a few questions on that document, then there's a problem. It means these MPs, when they go in that house, they're going to say, we approve the budget of the department except for green. You know what it means? Until we get answers to the questions that we have. So we are moving speed to get the documentation. Because our last meeting now is going to be on Tuesday with it, because we're going to public hearings and provinces for more than 2 weeks, we won't be in-house. And on Wednesday, we're voting on the budget. So if we can get those documents, probably, by Monday they should be here. They study them on Monday. They sit, and I'll request at least two people to come. I know it's going to be costly for you. At least two people to come, so that we, in that meeting, we have seen just a presentation on 2015 quickly, and then we wrap up on the issues then. We move on, because they need to vote on Tuesday. They're doing the report. They'll be finalizing the report, saying on this we agree, on that we agree, on this we agree, and then move forward.
Yeah.
So if we can have that, is it possible?
Yes.
Okay.
It's fine. You think you pay the second
bonus? Chair, just on that point that you have just been raised, not to just leave it hanging. One of the factors which is coming out strongly there is the human resource. The number is actually doubling, you know. So it has a direct bearing on the amount of revenue that is eligible for. And it is in the document.
Okay. I hope you satisfied with the
point. Honorable Chairperson, a couple of questions which I just want to touch on very, very quickly. Still have 12 minutes. Honorable Adebe asked on slide 19 and 21 the explanation of the costing between the CSR and Chairperson's cost, that's the costing. The CSR costs pay for the HR and the services which are listed in the presentation, which includes HR, legal services, etc., which does not come from the direct cost and the manpower and human capital cost, which is only the technical services cost. And then the slide from Honorable Opperman on slide number 45 relating to the growing our own home. We've not heard about that system, but we'll be interested to find out more information and we'll do the research and explain about it. The next question on slide 21, the jump from 8.9 to 25.9, we will submit a new business plan to the Honorable Chairperson and members as soon as possible, so, and we will be here on Tuesday together with two members to be able to answer any questions that may arise. The next question regarding to the WASTAL meeting in September 21-30, the amount the individual members who will be attending the meeting will pay their own costs coming here. AGMA will provide the limited expenditure, which is for the venue and a couple of limited expenditures. There are not too many members who will be coming, so it's not a lot of money. We will be funding it from our operational funding. I think I've touched on the question. Should there be any additional questions, we'll be ready to submit the answers in writing. Thank you for the
opportunity.
Slide 34. The numbers. Currently, that is a question from targeting staff. Disabled staff members, we do have none at the moment. Black female employees, we do have 3 at the moment. And black male employees, we make 5. Total of black employees makes 8. A total of white employees is 3. A total of total staff members is 11. We are projecting to double this figure to at least 21 to make us, or 22, to make us more able to achieve our mandate more effectively. Thank you for the question. On the visit, if I may just take one more minute, please. We welcome the portfolio committee members, honorable chairperson and members, to both visit the CSR in Pretoria and to the Innovation Hub in Shoshanguve, where we have a show case or show houses which members can actually see and touch the innovative system. And we welcome the clarifying of the relationship between the CSR and AGMA South Africa, and we look forward to the meeting to be held to address this particular issue. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. So I think members, this is a very conscious input. I think we need to approve it. It's not quite a big budget, you know. So I hope you're looking forward to the presentation on Tuesday. So thank you very much. Also the board for the effort. You can one of you. Well, quite appreciated.
Okay.
And honorable members, thank you.